And starting this coming Monday, 2 to 4, we are no longer alone here in the afternoons. We will have the McFarland Show with Darren and Justin, having one half of that show with us now, Justin McFarland. You can follow him on Twitter at ThisJustinTV. Justin McFarland, how you doing, buddy? Welcome in.
I'm great. How are you guys today?
Doing good. Great. This is the first time you've been on the afternoon. So this is, you get to see afternoons at Nashville Sports Radio now.
Yeah, I get to, you know, experience Nolensville Road and all of its glory out there. You know, I do traffic every single day on Fox 17 in the morning. You know, I'm responsible for all of our traffic coverage for 5 hours. And I have to apologize because I've been underdoing it on Nolensville Road. It's far worse than I thought for the traffic on Nolensville Road. So for those who watch me in the morning, I will make a concerted effort to make sure to provide more detours on Nolensville Road because it is bad.
Find the alleyways.
It's bad. Those side streets, it's bad. So we should do something about that as a city. But no, very excited to be here. But I do have to address one thing before we get rolling here. I heard y'all had a problem. I heard from reliable sources that y'all had a problem with my guy John Burton and Greg Pogue. So I'm just trying to find out before I come in the door exactly, you know, what it is that's happening here. Because, you know, me and Greg go back, you know, like, you know.
Well, Greg covered Babe Ruth, so yes. I mean, yeah.
Well, he's been there for, that's true. Now, Greg was old when I met him, that is correct. But, you know, me and Greg go all the way back, you know, to the Tennessee Oiler days, okay? Oh. That's how far me and Greg go back. For those of you who didn't know, that's a real thing. The Tennessee Oilers were a real thing. Yeah, I know a lot of people that...
They don't remember the logo.
They don't.
They don't remember the Oiler with the little square. Yeah.
It was a confusing time, I know, but that was a real thing. But I heard y'all got beef. And so, you know, can y'all explain to me why you would have beef with such wonderful gentlemen?
See, this is the problem.
Greg Pogue is the problem. And John Burton, and News Channel 5's John Burton.
See, this is the problem. I didn't want you to come in to the afternoons already swayed. And it seems like you're already been swayed.
Well, you know, fair. Listen, they talked to me first.
Well, there you go. See,
so, you know, they talked to me first.
Bought and sold.
And I've known them longer than I've known you gentlemen. So, you know, nothing against. So, you know how that is. You know, when you got a boy and then they say, you know, that guy over there, I don't like him. Mm-hmm. And then what do? You go, well, I don't know him, but if you don't like him, maybe I don't like him either. So what's up?
You got to remember which team you're on, though. See, your afternoon drive as well now. Their morning show. We don't want to cross those bounds.
We're kind of drive. You know, we're two.
It all
four.
Stems off.
It's in it. 4 o'clock hits.
You know, it all stems off
three
two
to
things.
Seven.
Kind of blurring the lines there a little bit. Okay, so what is this about?
It all stems off two things.
Okay,
I mean, and it really starts with the difference of shows.
I'm
morning,
listening.
Afternoon.
Okay,
fake. Real.
Yes. Ooh.
I met John. Ooh. And see how they swayed you already. That's kind of their manipulation point.
Big media always, you know, having their hands in things, trying to sway. This is what they do. This is what they're good at. So, I mean, go ahead and tell the story. Fake, real. Go ahead and get into that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I met John and I was like, you know, I'm pretty cautious of all media people as we talk about on the show. Because I like to believe I'm one of the last of the real, right? And I talked to John.
Humble. Very humble guy.
Well, he got me too. That's the problem with John. He got me too. He was like, I'm a wrestler. And I was like, great, we're talking about wrestling, all that. And it comes out, you know, not to break kayfabe, but he's not a real wrestler. And a lot of people gave me heat for saying that about
John.
But it's true. And then John was like, oh, I might not be a real wrestler, but I could take you on. I was like, bet, let's do it. We had date, time, Reagan Martial Arts, my own home. And it would be fair. I was like, you can bring your entourage. I bring my entourage. No shows.
It's just me.
No shows. Yeah, I mean, yeah. But that's
it's just me, but I got a Bruno shirt. I'm wearing Bruno's game-worn Vandy jersey.
So we've been on a year of this. Yeah, we've been on a year of this Cold War, and it really hasn't slowed down. It's only ever picked up.
And this is the thing, Justin. I don't blame you, but see, Burton started this. That's the key to all this. Burton started. We were cordial.
Burton started this by challenging... Is that what we're talking about here?
Challenging Bruno. And then he didn't back it up. Then Bruno goes off to the USFL, does great things with the Tampa Bay Bandits down there, becomes a big star down there. They picked up his second year option, a lot of good things there.
Sure.
Then he goes after me. And what he does is, this is, you would understand this too from your angle of the TV side. He brings me on to his Channel 5 Plus.
Okay.
His show, Sportsline.
Yeah, that's nice over there.
And attacks me. I'm ambushed. I had no idea. He said, hey, man, come on the show. We'll talk to
you. Did he hit you with
sports.
A chair, or what did he do?
It was over the phone, and he uses photos of me that shouldn't be used. I mean, it was a full ambush.
Hit piece.
Yes. Really.
So,
that's,
John got tough. You with a hit job.
Exactly. And then, you know, I challenged. I went to his show. I went to one of their remotes and challenged him to a wrestling match of his kind.
So was this unscripted? You just showed up?
Yes.
You just showed up. Impromptu.
That's strike and spare.
That's how they roll. You guys, no, just, we'll pull you guys up. Just pull up.
I'll pull up. We'll pull up
just
on
pull
anybody.
Up wherever.
What, you got
whatever.
That for me.
You just pull
up. What did Lil Wayne say? What did Lil Wayne say? Show up to your front door like you ordered me. That's what I'll do. I'll show up to your front door. And I did. And strike and spare in Hendersonville, they had a show out there, our lovely studio sponsor here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Of course.
They were in my area. Hendersonville's my land. I don't even know how Greg Pogue and Burton got the okay from the families to let them in, but they did somehow. They snuck in through the strike and spare window. I get it. But I showed up, challenged him. It's been crickets ever since. He doesn't want to. He's scared. He even said, I got to see if it's worth my time.
Wait, so now John is scared.
Yes. That's the real side of it.
This is deep.
This has levels. It's like an onion.
You know, I may have to use my journalistic skills and launch an investigation as to exactly who's telling the truth here and who's not.
And that's the thing. We're wide open. John, you know, there's a level of manipulation to it. I just want to get that out there in my own sort of subtle way.
You're going to do more investigative work than the NFL will on if Tua had an actual concussion or not.
You know, that thing is concerning, obviously. And, you know, obviously, you play ball, and I've talked to a lot of guys who've obviously played football as well. And, you know, they talk about the roughness of the game and the way to handle certain things. And it has to be concerning, at the very least, to the NFL that after, you know, a $765 million lawsuit and settlement, and after all the rules and the protocols and everything else, that we are almost back where we started with the concussion, you know, discussion here across, because this opens up a chapter that they don't want to talk about at all. They were happy to move on from it.
Yeah.
And so now here we are front and center again talking about this. And when I started, you know, covering the NFL in 98, oh, God. But it's
Nashville's
true.
A little different than
it's
us.
It's true. And Nashville's very different. But, you know, we didn't do a whole lot of concussion stuff, you know, as, you know, journalists. We didn't ask, you know, well, what happened? Y'all, you know, you guys bell rung and, you know, we'll see if he can make it back. And that was it. And either he was back or he wasn't. And that was all. There was no discussion about this. And clearly life has changed, and for good, for rightfully so. But Tua, and God bless him. I hope he's, you know, doing well and recovering, but he has opened up a discussion here across the league and across the sports world. Because what parent is sitting at home watching that with their kid going, that's exactly what I would have signed my son up for as soon as they get of age. You know, we're going to run them right down there and do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it has an effect across the entire sport. And, you know, and the NFL doesn't have – I don't know if the NFL has the mechanisms really to do what needs to be done to probably address the issue.
Well, the only way
be
to
fun to see.
Yeah, the only way to address the issue is to not play the game.
You're never going to run away from this discourse. That's what I said earlier today. I mean, this is football, 100% injury rate. You can never stop brain trauma in the game of football, as violent as it is. Just as you can't stop it in soccer, you can't stop it in rugby. And it does supersede football. I think football is just the biggest medium we have right now, so that's where the discussion
is. You can't stop it, but is it possible to be more cautious? Is it possible to be safer?
I think the NFL is
trying.
Than
what we just saw.
Yeah, I think the NFL is trying. Well, it comes down to as an athlete, you have to trust, because if Tua was truly concussed on Sunday when he had the trip, if you're concussed, you don't have the right, you don't have the autonomy to declare yourself clear. You're like, I'm okay.
Sure.
You're supposed to leave it to the third party. And by all accounts, it seems like they did. Now, the NFLPA is going to launch their own independent investigation. But I think you raised the biggest question. I mean, the NFL can't run from this forever, and it feels like the only way to get to like have a public stance. It's just to accept the violence of the game at a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, targeting, they try. I don't know. Maybe they'll come after kickoffs one day, even though that wasn't the particular issue here.
Which they already have, right? Yeah. They shorten the length of a kickoff to be able to basically just kick it into the end zone every time.
But what,
they've done these things.
Think about that. When's the last time you saw a kickoff return for a touchdown?
Yeah.
In the NFL. Like, you really have to stop and almost think about it.
The Dante Hall and a guy from Chicago. Devin Hester, thank you, who had slipped my mind. I mean, those days are gone.
Yeah.
Josh Cribbs, are gone.
If you give up special teams touchdowns on kickoff return, you're fired. Fired.
Yeah. But it's very reminiscent of, in this country, back when Pogue first got into media, boxing, how it was early 1900s. True. You know, boxing was the biggest sport, and then you get up into Muhammad Ali and where he was and what boxing was then you get a kind of like the look of Tua last night. You get an aging boxer like Muhammad Ali, and families and mothers are like, no more boxing. And it's virtually
people
dead
who play
now.
Football. People who play football are coming out. They're like, you're not doing
that. Mike Ditka, Iron Mike Ditka, he comes out and he said, I would not let my son play football nowadays.
If Mike Ditka says that, mm-hmm. I mean, who's a bigger ambassador for the sport of football than Iron Mike Ditka?
Yeah.
And he's speaking like that. It speaks a lot about the sport moving forward and what people are going to do, and what may end up happening is people end up playing football for a shorter period of time. You know, people end up retiring, mm-hmm. you know, at age, and we're already seeing that, retiring at age
Calvin
25,
Johnson.
26 now, even before you're retiring halfway into the second contract now. You know, you get the bag, and then after that, once the money's guaranteed, you get the signing mm-hmm. bonus. You know, you turn 26, 27, you decide, you know what? We're not going to 33, 34, 35 with this thing. We are done right now because we want to live the rest of our lives here with some safety.
Mm-hmm. Use the money.
And be able to actually use the money.
Right.
Yeah, and enjoy the money without, you know, the other repercussions that come with long-term playing football. When we look at some of the elders of the game,
mm-hmm.
People who used to run like deers, and then you see them in, you know, walkers now barely can move.
More tragic stories like Junior Seau, you know. Different things like that, or the former Tampa Bay player that...
By a percentage case, it is a lot more alarming regarding the National Football mm-hmm. League when it comes to, without, you know, coming out saying it, suicide, player, you know, preventable suicide.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the violence of the NFL is just, you know, I talked about the fact that I covered the NFL. I covered the Titans from 1998 until 2005.
The fun years.
Back when they had 3 days.
Yeah, these are the fun years.
Yeah, for the, you know,
you got out when you were smart.
For the Tennessee Tribune here in town, and let me tell you, the 2000 playoff game between the Ravens and the Titans was carnage that is almost indescribable even at this moment, because you're talking about two grown men football teams getting down out there for an hour. And, you know, Ray Ray and Peter Boulware mm-hmm. and those maniacs against, you know, Eddie and Steve and, you know, Brad Hopkins and those types of people on the other end. I mean, it was, you heard the collisions and you felt the collisions there in the stadium. And I can honestly say I've never seen a game that physical ever again than that 2000 game for the Ravens and Titans, because it was just two teams that just weren't not going to give an inch
mm-hmm.
at all. And it was an ugly, ugly, physically tarnishing football game. And I know there are men walking around today who played in that football game who occasionally catch a limp and they go, oh, that's that 2000, you know, playoff game against, you know,
yeah.
over at Adelphia Coliseum. And, you know, we don't see games like that anymore because the game style has changed. We're throwing the ball a lot more, mm-hmm. so we don't have the collisions, you know, at the line of scrimmage to the same degree because the power running has left the game now. You know, during that era in the old AFC Central, and I'm going to take people back here for a minute, Corey Dillon for the Bengals, okay? Corey Dillon, Eddie George for the Titans, Oilers, whatever. Jerome Bettis
mm-hmm.
This is all in the same division. These guys are playing each other, you know, six times a year we're doing this. You know, Jamal Lewis
mm-hmm.
for the Browns at that point. I mean, and by the way, Fred Taylor. All in that same division.
Yeah, they're
those
monsters.
Styles of running, you know, you played O-line, my man. those styles of running backs and that physical nature between the tackles are things we just don't do that anymore.
Everything is much more downhill because, well, the people are going to point to Andy Reid. You know, linebackers are on their heels now. They have to play coverage. You get skinnier guys. That's kind of the vibe. And
Zach Cunningham. Yeah. I mean, look at Zach Cunningham himself, one of the best tacklers in the NFL, but he's not a Ray Lewis build.
No. I mean, Ray Lewis, you know, was the optimal linebacker back in the day, but you get him out in the game, he might be a little too short. He might not be able to go boundary to boundary. That's the discourse nowadays. So the game changes like that, and I think the players change a little bit too.
Yeah.
You know, just player mindset really, really does. And from what I've heard from the people I know in the league, when you get into the garbage time, a lot of people really do take their foot off the gas pedal, whereas back in the day, it didn't happen. Oh. I mean, there was a lot of pride back in the day. So,
I mean, those guys played with a deep passion that is tough to – and I'm not saying these guys don't have passion or don't want it. Don't get me twisted at all.
No, it is.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that it, as you mentioned, is very, very different now. And we've seen the game change, and perhaps events like last night – we'll change the game yet again in a different way. I don't think football is going anywhere. I think that, you know, we're going to continue to kick it off on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. But what is that going to look like long term?
Mondays.
Well, you know, that's a whole other thing. Is, you know, Thursday nights when I was a kid for football was for small colleges. It was for Central Michigan against Youngstown State. You know, that's what you saw on ESPN on Thursday night. It was your first glimpse maybe at MTSU. If you've never heard of MTSU, where did you see MTSU? ESPN2 on Thursday nights because there was nothing else on. And so the NFL comes in and they kind of swallow up all that energy. But at what cost? Because now you've got guys playing on 5 days rest now. And, you know, the players have made it no secret. They don't care for it. They don't, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sorry. I know I've been talking.
No, hey, so these are the kind of conversations you're going to start getting on 2-4 right here. Except it'll be us less, and it'll be more Darren McFarlane.
Less House of the Dragon name dropping and more sports talk.
House of the Dragon? What? The what?
You never – Game of Thrones?
No, man.
Oh,
see,
no.
That's what I'm saying.
See, this is going to be a good
you'll
blend.
Get real no,
it's a good blend
hey,
there.
A lot
2-4 coming
heard
here.
Heard you say, what is that? And they went, thank God, we're going to get a real they're going to get a real sports show. So
Monday, it all kicks off. You and Darren McFarland. What to expect with that? What's the first day? Is there a special guest? Is there a special – is it all wrapped up still in secrecy?
Well, the special guest is us. Like, why do we need a special – we special. We not special. I thought we were special. Yeah, Darren and I will be here, and yes, we will have a few guests here. And obviously, it's the day after the Titans and Colts, and obviously that's going to dominate a lot of the conversation. UT is off, so you know it's going to be huge. Whatever happens this weekend in the I-65 series, game one is going to be massive for the rest of the year. And obviously, we'll spend a lot of time, discussing that and probably talking a little bit more of an introduction into who we are, how we came together, who, for the listeners who are here. People don't know here on 56, and it wasn't in this location, but I began my radio career at WNSR, except it wasn't in front of a microphone. It was sitting behind a board over there, and I was doing board op work for Nashville Sounds Baseball. Back when they were playing in the PCL, which means that it was the Sounds and the Fresno Grizzlies, okay? First pitch at 9:05 Central Time. First pitch, okay? And the Sounds and the Tacoma Rainiers. First pitch, 9:05.
And Bruno, that's
Central
not PCL
time.
In your knee, by the way. That's a conference in minor league.
I did tear that one.
The Pacific Coast League before they switched to the international International League, I guess they call it now. But it was I sat up there and I did board op work for Nashville Sounds Baseball, for TSU football, and kind of got my radio legs up here at WNSR. So it's a full circle moment for me to be back here on the airwaves instead of sitting behind the board. It's very cool, and I'm appreciative of Darren. I met Darren at Ted Rose Golf Center in the late 90s. He was doing a remote. And you guys talked about it. You know, I rolled up on him. I rolled up. I was like, what's up? I rolled up and we got to talking, and we, knew each other throughout the years, and this came together, and I'm appreciative of my bosses over at Fox 17 for letting me do this, and for the opportunity to come here and do this, and even to talk to, you know, guys like you, the next generation of sports talk. And you know, even though I remember things that people are younger and don't remember, there will be a day when you're going to be the elder and you're going to remember, you know, like, I don't know who this guy is, but let me tell you about Derrick Henry.
Yeah, no, Derrick Henry, how crazy is that going to be?
Was the truth, man. You don't know, but Derrick Henry was the greatest.
Let me tell you about
what
Jake Locker. Man, this guy.
I don't know if you want to remember that, but that's a whole thing. You know, we are growing up literally as a sports city.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the late '90s, there was no sports here.
Yeah.
And now we are growing into our mid-20s.
Isn't that insane?
As a sports town. And we are starting to develop history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are starting to develop. Remember, Jake, we are starting to develop players who didn't do so well. Draft bust.
Right.
Who didn't work out. And that is something still new for us. Multiple coaches. We had one coach for, you know, 15 years. And now we've gone through a few coaches now, and that builds character as a sports city. And, you know, that's something I'm excited to get into as well. Even with the Predators, you know, mm-hmm. we're starting to build, you know, a legacy, like players of the past.
Jordan Tutu. And,
Jordan Tutu.
You know, those people, you bring up people like, oh, I remember,
you know,
Jordan Tutu.
Mike Dunham, Captain Tom Fitzgerald, right. You know, Martin Erat, Paul Kariya. You know, those guys have now, you know, gone on. Those are flashes from the past now.
Mm-hmm.
And we can move on to today. Now we're moving on to Philip Forsberg. Mm-hmm. Now we're moving on to Niederreiter.
UC.
We're moving on now.
Yep.
And that's what's cool. Now, what's still missing is the chip.
Yeah.
We don't have
one.
That's
been the same. That's been the constant for Tennessee as a whole.
We've gotten conference finals for both teams, got one apiece in their history now.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten to the dance, but we have yet to bring home that championship. And when I looked at Tampa Bay, and God bless the folks down there in Florida, by the way, thoughts and prayers to everybody down there recovering. Mm-hmm. But they got the Cup and the Super Bowl in the same calendar year.
Yeah. Almost had the World Series, too.
Almost had the World. Nashville, we can do this. Can you imagine the party on Broadway if we get the Cup and the Lombardi in the same year? Can you feel what that – does the chill bumps not race up and down your arm just thinking about what mm-hmm. that party is like? You think the NFL draft was something?
Yeah.
Let's get the Cup and the Lombardi in town.
Yep.
Oh, that would be a party.
The McFarland Show – is going to be that catalyst that's going to bring it up. 2-4 starting this coming Monday. Justin McFarland has been our guest. Hey, man, we appreciate it. We're going to be seeing a whole lot more of you going forward. All I want to say,
yeah, man.
I understand John Burton, Greg Pogue, you know him for a long time.
Yeah.
I just want you to be in the middle.
You know,
that's all it is.
Listen, I'm a journalist. I can be objective. That's my whole job.
That's what we need.
That's my whole job.
Give us a chance.
My whole job is to tell both sides of the story. It's to talk to both sides. Find the fact in the fiction.
Exactly.
Make sure people understand what the real is from the fake, okay?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
That's my whole job. So we'll get to the bottom of it at some point.
We're excited for it.
I would factionally destroy John Burton.
Okay.
Justin, thank you so much for jumping on with us, man.
Thanks,
looking
guys.
Forward to
Appreciate
it. The McFarland Show. Darren and Justin, 2-4, starting next Monday right here on Nashville Sports Radio.